James chapter 3, and we'll begin reading on verse number 1, and we'll read all the way down through verse number 12, and I'll read the odd and you read the even with me, okay? Here we go. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either the vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. May God bless the reading of his word. We've probably been alluded to this theme of the tongue can no man tame, as James says. And man, of course, cannot tame the tongue. You can try all you want, but you're not going to tame your tongue just by your own ability. My own ability. It is impossible. I'd like to speak to you on this theme this morning, offend not in word. Offend not in word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the scriptures that we just read. Thank you for the journey in James thus far. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would be the preacher this morning. Empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Hide me behind the great cross, Father, that only I would say what you would want, what would be pleasing to you. That we would be again willing to say yes to whatever it is you challenge us with. That we would not leave with unfinished business, that we would allow the Spirit of God to do the business in our heart that we need today. And if there be someone here, Father, who is unsaved, and I believe there's at least one, maybe even more, that you would convict them of their need of a Savior, and today would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, as the author, the human penman of this book that we've been studying now for many Lord's days, now draws his attention by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to a very small member of your body and mine. And he says it is a little member. And that is, of course, the tongue. He mentions the tongue not just in this chapter, though. He mentions the tongue twice in chapter 1. Verses 19 and 26. Now think about this. You know, when God emphasizes something, and James is a very short book. It's not very lengthy. It's not the smallest book in the Bible, but it's definitely not the largest either. I think it would be probably classified as in the lower amount of information, whether it be chapters or words or however you want to figure out which one that is. But in that one, in this one book, five chapters, I believe it is, long, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, five chapters long. And of course, those weren't even put in the inspired words. Those are just for help for you and me to read. But God chose for James to write numerous times. Again, chapter number 1, verses 19 and 26. In chapter 2, he mentions the tongue or something like the tongue, if you will, in verse 12. We just read all those verses in chapter 3. Chapter 4, he talks about the tongue in verse 11. And then in chapter 5 and verse number 12, he does it there as well. And of course, then what we just read in chapter 3, I mean, I would think the majority of chapter 3, we could say, is dedicated, the highest percentage is dedicated to the tongue. Now, my tongue, as we've been talking about dead faith and faith that is alive, our tongue will help provide proof as to whether or not my faith is living faith or dead faith. And so James talks about the mouth, he talks about the tongue. Of course, we know the tongue is stored in the mouth, and the mouth opens, and you know, who knows what comes out, right? And that's where we want to be led by the Spirit of God, even with his little member. Someone once said that everyone has in their possession today, regardless of the laws of the land, a concealed weapon. And when your mouth opens, it becomes an unconcealed weapon. We pray that it's not a weapon for destruction, but it could be a weapon of encouragement, if you can say that that way. But this is the truth, though, isn't it? And even within the family of God, we need to be at times reminded about the importance of our words. Would you go with me to the book of Romans in chapter number 3? We'll come right back to James 3, but there are people who would try to take Paul's words and James' words and try to fight, make that a fight. You know, Paul talked about faith, only, you know, James talks about works. And that isn't the truth. There is no contradiction in the Word of God. It's just how they're explaining it. And we've talked about that. I don't want to go down that today. But so now we're looking at the Apostle Paul and what he's writing in Romans in chapter number 3. And, of course, this book was written to Christians in Rome. This is a very powerful chapter, by the way, not just 3:10 and 3:23, which we use quite often. But look, if you will, in verse number 13. He's talking about those that are not knowing God. He says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their, what? Tongues. They have used deceit. The poison of asps, that's obvious, that's a snake of some kind, is under their lips. Whose mouth, okay, so we've got the tongue, now we've got the mouth, is full of cursing and bitterness. Again, this is not a description of beauty at all. This is a description of great destruction. This is a description of corruption, and one that we want to avoid. Let's go to now the Old Testament book of Isaiah for just a moment. Isaiah chapter number 6. And Isaiah, this is a chapter that we look at occasionally as we hear the holy, holy, holy part of Isaiah chapter number 6. We also hear him calling out to the Lord, then said, I hear my, send me. That's Brother Caleb's life verse. And but he also says this about himself in chapter 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. It's all, you know, it's good. It's good that we are humble in our life. It would be good that we are more humble in our life, that we recognize there are things in our life where we need to say that very statement. Woe is me. I've got to get something right. Why is he saying woe is me? Because there's conviction. And when God's Spirit convicts us, it's not the time to turn off the Spirit of God. It's the time to say woe is me. Then he says this, for I am undone. Now he's going to confess. So he says, woe is me, because he's convicted. And now out of his mouth, or his pen, if you will, comes the following statement. He says, I am undone, because I am a man of what? Unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. All of us have unclean lips around here. First he said it was personal, though, right? He didn't just say, yeah, everybody around me's got unclean lips. He said, I've got a problem. Unclean lips, and everybody around me does too. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I don't know if someone actually did a survey on this or not, what I'm about to tell you, so I'm not saying that it is the gospel truth by any stretch of the imagination. But I read that men on a daily basis use 25,000 words. 25,000 words. Okay, ladies. You know I'm going to have to talk about you now, too. On the average, ladies are known to gab 30,000 words. 30,000 words. I thought the gap might be a little more than that, quite frankly. Sorry. And here, you know, the thing I was reading is kind of humorous when I was reading this. And he said that men use most of their words before they get home. And then when they get home, guess what? That's when it's time for the ladies to start using their words. Guys, be careful about amening right now, okay? I've been talking all day. I've been working all day. I've been communicating all day. When I come home, I don't want to keep talking, you know? I'm not saying that's me, of course. No, that's somebody else. And then, of course, when we get home, it's, you know, okay, now, you know, especially I remember when the kids were younger. And, you know, I mean, you talk to toddlers all day or little kids all day. And I mean, that's great conversation, but it's only at a certain level, right? And then when, you know, your husband or your wife gets home or however it is, whatever, and then it's just, there's a lot of different making up for lost time, let's say. But anyway, we'll just move on, all right? The Bible refers directly or indirectly in this way, and it's not very positive, so allow me just a moment to read this. The Bible refers directly or indirectly to a wicked tongue, a deceitful tongue, a lying tongue, a perverse tongue, a filthy tongue, corrupt, bitter, angry, crafty, flattery, slanderous, gossiping, backbiting, blaspheming, foolish, boasting, murmuring, complaining, ouch, complaining, cursing, contentious, sensual, vile, tale-bearing, whispering. It's not wrong to whisper. That's not what it means by whispering tongue. It means pulling somebody to the side and say, did you hear what I heard about so-and-so? That's the whispering tongue. Exaggerating tongue, and it goes. My question to you this morning is, did you find yourself in any of those? I cannot imagine that we were all, did not feel any fire from at least one of those, if not several. James sets the standard quite high because he says the one who controls the tongue, look at verse 2, for in many things we offend all. James, back to James 3, thank please. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word. That's our theme, offend not in word. So offend not. Who offends not in the word, the same is a what? Perfect man. Now there's various ways we could look at this. Perfect meaning mature. And that very well could be. But I think we can also make an application here to the one perfect man. There's only been one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything he said was right. Everything that came out of his mouth was correct. Everything that came out of his mouth was not any of those things that I just mentioned. Everything was perfect. He was the perfect man. He offended not in word. Everything that he said was truthful. And when we grow in the Lord, you've heard this before, we want to become more Christ-like. So in this way, today, it's my prayer that we would seek to be the perfect man, the perfect lady, when it comes to this little member that's in our mouth. And the only way that's going to happen is if we draw nigh to Christ through his word, through prayer, by asking the Holy Spirit to be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, Ephesians, but be filled with the Spirit of God. I've got to be filled with the Spirit of God if I'm going to use this little member properly. And remember, James is the author. Do you think James spent a little bit of time with Jesus? You think maybe they were in the wood shop a few times? I think they were. You got to think about this, right? I mean, the carpenter's son, right? I don't know that James wasn't involved. Jesus, we always say Jesus was involved. I'm sure James was right there too. And I mean, maybe he even picked at Jesus. Who knows? You just got to imagine brothers, right? Anybody ever known two brothers that got along every bit of the time, every day? Kamika's just, her eyes just got really big. Don't point, right? I mean, I have two brothers. We didn't get along all the time. I'm glad we could get along now as adults. But we had to work our way through a lot of, you know. But I'm sure we used our tongue against one another at times, and I'm sure James did too. But you know what? He had a brother who never, never used his tongue incorrectly. Think about that. He would have witnessed that. I mean, the Holy Spirit told him what to write. I'm just saying, think about the upbringing before he even wrote these words in the Bible. Let's go to John 7. We're going to give an outline here at the end, but let's go to John 7 and think. Let's see a couple things quickly. John chapter 7. John 7, and look, please, if you will, in verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? Him is Jesus. 46. The officers answered, never man, what's the next word? Spake like this man. We've never heard anybody talk like this. How come you didn't bring him? They didn't even answer. They just said, because of the way he talked. Never a man spoke like this man. Offend not in word. We won't turn there for time's sake, but in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, Peter writes about Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He is the perfect man. He is the perfect man with his tongue. As we think about this text, we see a progression within the text, just as by way of consideration, not really with part of the outline, but kind of the introduction. There's a progression of size in relation to control. If you see that in verse number 2, you have the control of the human body. Okay? The human body is, you know, it's very various sizes and shapes and things like that. Of course, we all start out small, right? But then we all grow into different sizes, shapes, heights, and all that. But the human body, all right, the average size and so forth. And then that's in verse 2. And then we have the horse. James says about the horse in verse 3. And I would say most horses on average are bigger than you and me. They're, you know, if you measured everything and weighed them all, I mean, I know there's the miniature horses that we'd ride on the fair and things like that. But on the average, you're with me, right? And then we have the ship in verse number 4. So we see the progression of the size in relation to control. Each one is bigger than the previous, but still is controlled by something very small. So James, by the inspiration of God, is saying, look, it doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter your lot in life, if you will. Here he's saying whether you're a human, whether you're a giant four-legged horse, or you're a huge vessel in the Pacific, everything is controlled by this something small. And you can be too, even though your tongue and my tongue is small and our situations are all various shapes and sizes. It is possible, with the help of the Lord, that we use the tongue for good. Let me give you three things quickly about the tongue. Number one, the tongue can direct. It can direct. We see that in verses 3 and 4. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Focusing on that word turn. And then we see the ship in verse number 4. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. I read several things about different accidents along the way that were boating accidents that happened because the helm, or the rudder, we might say, failed. And in comparison to the entire size of the ship, the rudder is very small. And yet because the rudder or the helm failed, the ship went off course. It went the wrong direction. So we have here an illustration in two ways. We have an illustration in nature, the horse, and then we have an illustration in navigation by way of the ship. The bit in the horse's mouth is nothing in comparison to size of the actual horse. The helm or rudder is very small in comparison to the boat. And yet James is setting us up here. He's challenging us. He's helping us see things. Again, I love the way certain books of the Bible, I love them all, but I mean, there's certain times in the Bible where there's beautiful illustrations that we just look at it and it's part of our life. We've all seen horses for the most part. We've probably all seen a ship. And so we know exactly what this is talking about in this way. Now, when we think about our tongue, so now we have the horse, we have the boat. Now, what about my tongue? How does my tongue direct? Well, my tongue can direct either the wrong way or the right way. My tongue will direct the wrong way with words that are idle, with words that are questionable, with words that are maybe a half-truth. By the way, think about it, half-truth. Does that even make sense? No, it doesn't. You can't have a half-truth. You either have a truth or you have a lie. So let's not try to say little white lie. It was just a little white lie. I have no idea what that means. I probably used it as a kid, so I'm not saying I was without guilt here. But I can direct the wrong way with a lie. Think about how people are directed with lies. Gossip, harsh words. So the tongue can direct. I would encourage you as well to be very careful at home about what you say about the things of God around your family. Mom and dad, older siblings, be careful how you speak about the things of God around your home. Because those little ears are listening and they are registering every little bit of it. We're not going to go to church today. And here comes the excuses. They're listening. And believe me, when they get old enough, you've already given them a whole list of excuses as to why we don't go to church on the Lord's Day and why we don't serve God. Be careful, because whatsoever we sow, we will reap. Even if you have those thoughts in your mind, I'd be very careful about making them known. You need to deal with those thoughts. I'm not saying that. Be careful about what we say, because you may not think it's a big deal. They're 5 years old, but you are directing them now for when they are 18. Be very careful. You get one shot at rearing a child from that hospital room until the day they do whatever they do, older in life, so forth. One chance. There's no do-overs. I just want to encourage us. I'm not saying I'm above, below. I'm just saying I'm greatly concerned that my words would direct people toward God. This is why we need to be in this book. It doesn't matter if you have kids in the home or not. This isn't just for parents today. This is for everyone here breathing. Are you breathing? Raise your left hand. If you're breathing, raise your left hand. I don't see every hand up. God, we need a doctor. We need a doctor. We got some people that are out cold. I'm not breathing anymore. Okay. Stay with me. It doesn't matter what your lot or your title or your hat is today. We need to make sure that this little member is directing people.
the right way, to draw closer to God, not further away. That they would love church, not tolerate church. You know, there's a big difference. Big difference. We get to go to church, not we have to go to church. Little things like that. We get to serve God. I mean, think about it. We get to serve God. We get to talk about the things of God, not we have to. We get to do the chores. Amen, Dad and Mom? We get to do the chores, not we have to. By the way, kids, be thankful that you're growing up in a home this morning where your dad and mom got up and said, we're going to church. It's Sunday. Maybe they didn't even have to say it because you know that on Sunday you get up and you go to church. Not because it's routine, but because you have a relationship with God. Think about that now. Don't just make this a routine. Make this because of a relationship. I think a lot of routine Christians die out. A lot of routine. Now, it's a routine for me. Believe me, it's a routine. But it's not so much about routine as it is relationship. Do you have a relationship with God? If you have a relationship with God, then Sunday is the Lord's day. If you have a relationship with God, this is a love letter to you. Read it. Study it. Then tell people about it and direct them to the things of God. Pray. You ought to pray. By the way, you ought to pray for our servants that serve our kids at this church. Do you pray for them? Do you pray for the Patch Club workers? Because they're using their tongue to direct your children in the things of God. Pray for them. Do you pray for the Anchored Youth Class workers? Because they're using their tongue to direct your children. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Parents, you got to help us direct them. We want to help you direct them closer to God. So let's try not to undo what we do here in the house of God in your home. We want to compliment you. It's not this way. It's this way. You see the difference? This is because we have an enemy out there. Fight the good fight of faith, right? And so we've got to use this tongue. Please, the next generation, this generation, was it Pastor Yassine that you said it that way? This generation. Yes, we do need the next one, but how about this one? Sure. Many of this one are completely walking away from the things of God. You know what? That breaks my heart. And I think part of it is because they have a responsibility. They have a responsibility. They will be accountable to themselves, yes, for themselves. But I think part of it is because of the tongues of different places in their life that have directed them in a different way. Some of them are outside of the church. They're listening to this person and that person. But think about it. This is what I'm saying. This is the power of the tongue to direct. Be careful who your children are listening to. Be careful who you're listening to. Right? Be careful the YouTube, all the YouTube preachers that are out there. We have one. That's our, we have a YouTube channel, okay? So I'm talking about myself, all right? But just be careful because the tongue directs. This is not my church. This is not our church. This is God's church. Be careful what you say, even about this church. And forgive me for I'm not trying to be anything, but forgive me, but be careful what you say about the pastor. Because you could be directing your son or your daughter or whoever, you could be planting a seed. Be careful. That isn't, the pastor isn't better, but it's the office of bishop, pastor. I did not set it up. God set it up. So be careful about anybody. But I'm just saying, especially the one or ones that are leading, the under-shepherd. Don't direct anyone away. Direct them to. And it's not because the pastor's perfect. It's because God has ordained the office of bishop to lead the flock of God with the great shepherd leading the way of all of us. But I'm so thankful we can direct people the right way. Right? We can be a mouth of encouragement. We can be a mouth of love. By this shall all men know. We read it yesterday in discipleship. John 13:35? Maybe. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you know how to preach a message. Is that what it says in your Bible? If you don't know that verse, you need to memorize it, because that's not what it says. By this you all may know that you are disciples, you know, if you, whatever. No, if you have love for the brethren. Do you know how my love is shown to the brethren? A lot of times, my tongue. My tongue. Now, in these days, our tongue is used in various ways. Our tongue types now. Does your tongue type? Tongue tied. We type with our fingers, but we're sending a message to someone. And that's okay. I'm not saying don't do that. But that's communication. We want to direct with our communication. We want to build up, not tear down. It's called edification. If you read Hebrews 10:25, it's one of the reasons why we need to be in church on a regular basis, is so that we can edify one another. I can't edify you when you're sitting on the couch, even via live stream. It's not the same. If you're sick, stay home and watch it on the couch, but come back when you get better. That's not the same type of edification. We can't encourage one another unless we see one another. But then if we don't see one another, then let's encourage someone by sending a text or sending an email, encouraging. We're not pestering, but we're trying to direct in a way that brings people back to the Lord. We got a motor here. Now, the tongue, I'm trying to talk fast, but this tongue won't go any faster, okay? The tongue, sadly though, the tongue can destroy. Verses 5-8. I won't read all those verses, but it can destroy. Now we see an illustration about a fire and how quickly a fire can be so destructive. One commentator wrote it this way: if our tongue were so well under control that it refused to formulate the words of self-pity, the images of lustfulness, the thoughts of anger and resentment, then these things are cut down before they have a chance to live. The master switch has deprived them of any power to switch on that side of our lives. The control of the tongue is more than evidence of spiritual maturity. It is also the means to it. This is why this little guy right here, it can be tamed, not because of my ways, but because of God's ways. It's got to be tamed. None of us were alive in 1871. That's a long time ago. But October 8, 1871, at approximately 8:30 p.m. in the evening, in the barn of Mrs. O'Leary, a spark was lit. One spark. In one barn, before it was all over, this one spark led to burning 17,500 buildings. 300 people were burned to death. 125,000 people were left homeless. And in that day, 1871, the damage estimated was $400 million. This is the Great Chicago Fire, if you've heard of it. One spark, one barn, one cow, supposedly, and all of that. This is why we cannot say it's just one word. It's just one statement. It's just one losing my control. And so, you know, that's just how I am. That's how I am. I got a hot temper. No, you got a hot temper because you're a sinner. I got a hot temper because I'm a sinner. If you have a hot temper, it's not because it's who you are. Yes, it is who you are. A sinner, but you don't have to live that way. And I don't have to live that way. Let's not make excuses for this is just how I'm made up. I'm just hot-headed. No, you don't have to be hot-headed. You can be cool-headed by the grace of God. I'm not talking about cool, dude. I'm not talking about that kind of cool, okay? Maybe that one too, though, all right? In all seriousness, this is 300 people died because one spark. Think about how quickly one statement out of my mouth or your mouth that is destructive can spread. James says it's just like this fire. Look at verse 8. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. Just everything is on fire. Why? The tongue.
Even in verse 5, behold how great a matter, a little fire. Maybe circle those two words, little fire.
It's just little.
No, it's not. It's big. And we must have God's master switch. We must have God's help. Yes, we do. We need the grace of God. This is not easy. Because, yes, we are flesh. And, yes, we do. The Bible says that offenses will come. And so what we do when offense comes is we just want to give it right back. That's not Christ-honoring.
First thing we need to do is Ephesians 4:32, we need to forgive. And if it's something so big, and I'm not saying that there aren't big things, there are, then we need to go to that person, and we need to use this tongue to talk to them in a low tone. Don't talk to them up here. If you read the Bible reading today, we got nailed with the tongue in our Bible reading program on the Bible app. I was like, wow, okay, God, you do this so many times. I'm like, oh my, here we go. Proverbs 15. Go home and read Proverbs 15, and you're going to get the tongue. Boom, boom, boom. It's right there. Timing of the Lord again. Praise the Lord for that. But we're supposed to go to them and let them know with our tongue. But if I go to Bill over here and let him know what Sam said, now I'm building a fire. Right? What was little, I'm blowing on it. Hey, Bill. Usually Bob. Do we have a? Oh, we do have a Sam. Sam, you're right there. Sorry, Sam. It wasn't you that did it. I'm looking right at him, and I say we don't have any Sams here. My vision. Thank you. No. I don't need to do that. That's making a fire. And then it's going to be built over here. And guess what? I have no idea what Bill might do with that information. Bill might take that information and go to John. He might say, hey, you know what? You know what Pastor said? He said this about Sam. Sam did this to him. Now guess what? It's starting to get big. And guess what? Even if I now go to Sam and make it right with Sam, it's going to be very hard for me to bring all that in and put the fire out. It's almost impossible because it's going to spread like wildfire. The tongue can destroy. Sports writer for the Atlanta Journal named Morgan Blake, he wrote this: I am more deadly than the screaming shell from the howitzer. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and I seldom forgive. My name is gossip. May God help us to gain control if we need it. We all need it in some way. Okay, this isn't a message for five people. This is a message for everybody here. The tongue can direct, the tongue can destroy, and sadly, lastly, the tongue can be disloyal. Look at verse 9, please. Therewith bless we God. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're blessing God. We come here on Sunday morning. We go over there on Sunday night. We come back here on Wednesday night. We go to Gospel Farsi at 4 o'clock. Well, not all of us, but anyway. They have their meeting, and they have their meetings on Zoom and so forth. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Right. But then notice it says at the same time we use this tongue to say bless God and we sing how great thou art. But then he says and we also curse man, which are made after the similitude of who? Unbelievable. You know what that's saying? That means I say bless God, but then I use my tongue in an improper way and I and I'm cursing or I'm saying something about Brother Cena down here, who's made in the image of who? God. Backwards. But we do it. You know, bless God, but then we're going to talk about so-and-so over here in a tearing down way. We need to avoid that. That's not honoring to God. To me, I'll just say this, and you know, I'm not saying this is the gospel way, but I think it nullifies all of the beautiful bless God when we curse man. I think it just kind of knocks it all out. God just says, that's not the way it is. I mean, we even see that all through the book of James. This isn't the way we're supposed to live our life. God didn't save me to do that. And then he even talks about it even more. Out of the same mouth, maybe you circle those words, same mouth, proceedeth blessing and cursing. Again, we bless some people, and then we're cursing others. What does James say? No bueno. That's what he says. These things ought not so to be. We shouldn't do that. Disloyal. Right? It's kind of like we've got this split mouth here. In this direction, God is good. This direction, you know, I don't like you. You're this, you're that, whatever. I don't know. I can't think of something right now. I don't want to think of something. Verse 11. Now he says, how about a fountain? At the same place, does a fountain have sweet water and bitter water? No. That's not how it works. It's either one or the other. We don't want to have some sweet things coming out on Sunday, and then on Monday we have nasty things coming out. That's not showing that our faith is living. I'm not saying it's dead. I'm saying it's not showing that. Because this small member needs to be controlled by God's Spirit. And it might seem insignificant, but I say it's not. It's very significant. We could say this. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, okay? But when's the last time you shared any of the Bible with anyone else? If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, why wouldn't you take these and hand them out regularly? When you let me know the answer to that question, I'll be glad to listen. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you will want people to know that it is the Word of God. You will want people to know about God, right? Right. If we're not, then it's disloyal to say I believe something, but I'm not a part of it. I'm not saying I'm always a part of it like I need to be. But I'm saying, I think everybody in this room, we say one thing, but then maybe it's the lack of what we're saying in this case. Then he says, verse 12, can the fig tree, wow, I love, if you've never had a fresh fig, you have not lived, okay? So if you need to find, we need to find some fresh figs for you. First time I had one was many, many years ago, but it was here. When we lived over on 11th Avenue, and I had a fresh fig for the first time. I think Geraldo actually gave it to me from his neighbor, Geraldo Dominelli, if you remember that name from way, way back in the day. And boy, I chomped on that thing. Wow, nothing like it. I had dried ones up until that point, but a fresh fig is unbelievable. I just thought I'd let you know that. That was free. Okay. Because it's kind of a heavy subject today, all right? Can we get olive berries? Again, if you get some really good olives, those are nice too. Didn't like them really as a kid growing up, but I love them now. But we're not going to go out to the fig tree on Monday and get a fig and go out to the fig tree the next Monday and get olives. It's not going to happen. Otherwise, we'd say this is cuckoo. This is a cuckoo tree. That's why we can't say one minute, bless God, and the next minute, even maybe cursing or taking the Lord's name in vain. Even be careful about how you use God's name. Singing about him on Sunday, cursing about him on Wednesday. It's not what we want. It's not what me wants. It's not what God wants. Right? So can no fountain, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? You know, that's backwards, and they would have known so well about that illustration and the setting in which this was being written, right? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. This morning, we have a very challenging task, but we have a task that is attainable. The task that is ahead of us is this, that the tongue in your mouth and in my mouth be tamed. God's word says the tongue can no man tame, and that is very true. I cannot tame this tongue. But I can, with the power of the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, I can use my tongue, and it can be tamed. If I'm yielding to the Spirit of God, it will be tamed. I don't want to be a reactor. You've heard me say it once. You've heard me say it many times over the years. I don't want to be a reactor. I want to be a responder. There's a big difference. If your tongue is tame, you will respond. You will not react. If my tongue is not tamed, I'll react. And it doesn't take long. I can go 0 to 100 in 1 second. And it's not the kind of 0 to 100 you want to go to. No, we want to take the foot right off the gas. Don't use the gas. Let the Holy Spirit of God tame our tongue and speak properly. The greatest way we can use our tongue is to glorify God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The question is, can we take our tongue from the last week, the last 7 days? Again, there's no one here that can perfectly. But can we take our tongue and say, my tongue glorified God? Now, there's areas where we all need to improve. So it ought to be our goal that from right now moving ahead, every day, one day at a time, that we say to God, God, I want this tongue to glorify you. And we might have to say, God, I want these fingers to glorify you. What we put in a text message, what we put in an email, what we put in a chat, because this is our tongue many times in action. In 2026, these need to also be surrendered over. It wasn't a part of James Day, was it? But it definitely is today. And to glorify God with our tongue, one way we do that is to share the glorious gospel with people. Can I tell you that this world is on fire? Okay? You don't have to lurk at the news long. The world is on fire. And you know what they need? They need peace. The only way they're going to have peace is through Christ. I want to encourage you. Ask God to give you opportunities to use this tongue to speak to people about the gospel this week. God will give you opportunities. Let's take this tongue, get it tamed by the Spirit of God, and then use it for directing people toward the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Are you saved today? Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? It's something you need to make sure you're ready about. Let's pray. Heavenly